Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today's the end of my third week teaching on financial stewardship, and I tell you, I'm just sharing things that have revolutionized my life. And I can tell you by my own personal experience, plus I deal with a lot of other people, that this is just radically different than the way most people think. Hence, that's the reason that most people are not prospering financially through God's system. You can prosper in the carnal realm, but man, it has a lot of worry and care and frustration. It's fragile. The scripture says, "The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." Implying that when you prosper outside of the Lord, there is sorrow and there is labor and travail. And if you turn over to the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of scriptures that talk about all of these things. It's just vanity. It's labor. It's travail. You do all of this and you die and leave your assets to somebody else that doesn't appreciate it, and it just is wasted and gone. And it's just negative, negative, negative. That's the way that the world is. If you are prospering through this world's financial system, man, it's fragile. It puts a tremendous burden upon you that you can't rest. If you try and take off and rest, you just are living so close to the edge, you just can't afford to do it. There's people I'm talking to right now all over the world that you are driven to work. You don't like your work. You can't take a day off. You can't. If a crisis was to come up, you're just in a situation where you can't afford to take off and deal with it. That's the way that the world system is. But when you prosper God's way, the blessing of the Lord makes rich. That's not talking about barely getting by. It's talking about being rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. You can prosper in a way that it wasn't your blood and sweat and tears that got your prosperity. It was God's blessing, and all you did was cooperate and do what he told you to do. And because of that, there is a rest. There is a peace. There is a lack of sorrow that goes with it when you prosper God's way, that allows you to enjoy your prosperity and to enjoy things. There's a lot of people that can't enjoy the blessings that they do have because it's just so fragile. I've been saying things that are just radically different. This parable of the sower sowing the seed, to me, is one of the most, it's a different paradigm. It's a totally different way of looking at life. It's a different philosophy than what most people have. And it's one of the reasons that I think Christians aren't prospering. Again, I encourage you to get our materials because I can't just go back and summarize everything I've said. But I've been dealing with this parable about a man who stole money from his master and gave it to people, bribed them, because he was going to be fired. He knew he was going to be fired. It had come to the master's attention that he had been stealing money, and so he knew he was going to be fired, but before he got fired, he took this money and gave it away to creditors, decreased the debt that they owed the master, and basically, in a sense, was still stealing money but giving it to people to bribe them so that when he got fired, he'd be able to mooch off of them. And the master commended him for this. And I believe the reason he commended him is because prior to this time, this man had stolen money before, had redirected the master's money in a self-serving way before, but he didn't have anything to show for it. He didn't have any assets. He didn't have any money saved. He didn't have any investments, and he can prove it because in the third verse, he says, "What am I going to do? I can't dig to beg. I'm ashamed." He didn't have any money to fall back on. He had just blown it all on stuff. And the reason the master commended him is because under pressure, he finally realized this money gives me power to affect my future. And even though the master wasn't commending stealing money from him or bribing people, he was saying, finally, you realize that money can affect your future. Now, that's true in just this physical life, but it's infinitely more true when we talk about how money can affect your eternal destiny. There's a lot of people watching this program say, "Now, wait a minute, you can't take it with you." And that's true. I've actually had this saying that I've used before, that you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. Those of you outside of the United States don't know what a U-Haul is, but it's a moving van. It's what people move their belongings in. And a hearse never pulls a trailer, a U-Haul, something. Because you know what? When you die, you leave this earth naked. You came in naked. They may dress your body, but your spirit is gone. And you can't take a single physical asset with you. But you can send money ahead. Not in the form of money. I heard a story one time about a man, you know, it's a joke about a man who went to heaven and he begged if he could please bring this suitcase with him. And the angel says, well, why would you want it? And he said, oh, I've got to have it. And finally, the angel says, okay, what's in it? And so he opens it up and it's full of gold bars. And the angel looks at that and says, what did you bring pavement up here for? Amen. In heaven, Jesus paves his streets with gold. And so, I mean, even if you brought gold and silver, it wouldn't do you any good in heaven. You don't use money in heaven. You can't take it physically with you, but what you can do is turn money into changed lives. And then those changed lives in heaven will be people that you rejoice with from now through eternity because of the investment that you made. And if you ever get this perspective, and if you really see that by giving and touching people's lives, you can affect them. You can be a representative of God. You can get people born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit. Their marriage is healed. Their bodies heal. If you see the potential, and if you understand what I'm talking about, then I guarantee you, you will just pump as much as you possibly can into changing people's lives. It's not about how big a house you live in and all of these things you have, but it's about using these assets to affect people's lives. And I can promise you, in eternity, you're going to thank me for encouraging you to give and to touch people's lives, because everything that you keep, you lose. But everything that you give in the name of the Lord that touches a person's life in a positive way, you never lose. I tell you, it's not foolish to take something that you can't keep, which is money, and turn it into something that you can't lose, which is change lives. You've got a brief period of time on this earth, and there's money that pours through your hands. I don't know how much money the average person has. I bet you it's at least $500,000 with wages and things the way that they are today. I would suspect that most people have at least $500,000, maybe $1 million flow through your hands in a lifetime. And yet, what have you done with it? The biggest thing that most people have is they have a house. And they may have a savings account. And they might have, I don't know, you know, other things. You could have gold and jewels and different things like that. But to most people, the vast majority of the money that flows through your hands went for these physical, temporary things that are going to be totally gone. I believe it ought to be opposite. We ought to be able to say that you were able to give the majority of it. You were able to take the resources that God gave you and touch people's lives and see people changed. You know, I can truthfully say that that's where Jamie and I are living. That's where this ministry is living. The vast majority of all the money that comes to us goes out to touch people. You know, I say these things only to make a point. I am not saying this to pat myself on the back. Many of you will think that I am, and I can't control your opinion, but I'm trying to just illustrate this every way I can. But you know, we've got people that are widows. There's a woman in our school her and her husband were in school together, and the man died while he was in school. And did you know, since then, I have been supporting her and her six children that were left behind, which is what the Scripture says we're supposed to do. In James chapter 1, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, that you visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And there's many scriptures that talk about that. And you know what? There's a bunch of widows. There's a bunch of people that when they are in a hard time, the last thing they need is more financial pressure. That's not everything that they need. If you've lost a mate or something, man, there's all kinds of emotional things that you're dealing with. But one of them, You shouldn't have to deal with this in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says that the church should be taking care of widows. Many people have turned this over to the government and expect them to live off of welfare. I tell you what, welfare is not going to provide anybody's needs completely. So anyway, my only point in saying this is that this is why God blesses me and gives me money, is so that I can help people. I help people like widows and orphans. I help people through buying television and radio time to get the gospel out to them. Man, we give and give. There's been some times in the last few months that I've given away hundreds of thousands of dollars in 1 month. And I'm not, let me also say this, your antennas went up and you thought, oh man, I'm writing in to Andrew and asking you to give me something. If you ask, I won't give it to you. The moment you ask, you just disqualified yourself. So save yourself the effort of writing or calling and asking me to bail you out. I'm not going to do it. But as God leads me, I give to other people and bless them. And this is one of the reasons that God has prospered me, is because if He can get it through you, He will get it to you. But most people are like a dam. They just build a dam, and everything that comes their way, they hoard it. And if you have a nice house now, if you were to win the lottery, if somebody was to bless you with a lot of money, if you got a double in your salary, most people would just keep that dam there. They wouldn't let it flow through. They'd just get a bigger house, a bigger mortgage, a bigger car. You'd be in the same percentage of debt. You'd just get bigger everything. Most people, it's all about them. Did you know that that attitude, that stingy attitude, actually stops the flow of God's blessing to you? It says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And if you take this in context, he's talking about money. He's not really talking about God giving a farmer seed to sow. He's using that as an example because just like when you put a seed in the ground, it grows and multiplies. You plant one kernel of corn and it comes back with three stalks or three ears on a stalk, and each ear has over 700 kernels of corn in it. And so you plant one kernel and you get back at least 2,100 kernels. And that's the reason that he's using this about a seed. And he applies it to money because when you give and bless other people, God will bless it back to you. So this is saying that he gives seed to the sower, or this is actually talking about he gives money to people who will give. Every person watching this program right now could be classified as either a sower or an eater, a giver or a hoarder, a taker. Every person falls into one of those two categories. And it's really hard to discern just by your actions. It's really an attitude of the heart. There are some of you that may even give when you hear somebody like me or somebody else preach on finances, and you may give, but in your heart, you're giving so you can get. You're giving because this is how you're going to get something back. I've had people that'll give $100 expecting $10,000, a hundredfold return back because they're just in a sense, they're trying to buy the blessing of God. You know what? You aren't a sower. You're an eater. You're a taker. That's your heart attitude. That's your mindset. That's your paradigm, your philosophy towards life. It's all about you. Get all you can, then can all you get and sit on your can. Just build a dam and hoard everything, and every once in a while tip God. Every once in a while maybe give Him something so that you could get more and hoard more. But I tell you, the person that really receives the blessing of God is the person that doesn't become a reservoir and build a dam and just hold as much as you can. But it's the person who's like a river, that it just flows through. It flows through freely. You don't restrict it. And as the money flows through, there's always plenty for you. I know that when I start talking about this and living to give instead of giving to live, and talking about being a sower instead of just an eater, when I start talking about things like this, there are millions of people that will say, but I need to eat. I've got needs. Who's going to take care of me? If I just started giving, if I thought about others, if it wasn't all about me, who would take care of me? The answer to this is God would take care of you. God gives seed to sowers. He gives money to people who are givers. Let me just say it this way. If you are short of money to give, it's because God doesn't see you as a giver. He sees you as an eater. He sees you as a person who it's all about you. You're just building dams, hoarding everything you can get, and you only let a little trickle out. But it's all about you. That actually inhibits the flow of God's blessing towards you. But the Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in His sight. God is looking. You know, this broadcast is seen all over the world. 3.2 billion people can watch this program. And wherever you are right now, doesn't matter what country you're in, doesn't matter where you are, if you're watching this on the internet, God is there looking. And He's evaluating. Are you a giver? Are you a person who wants to use your resources to be a blessing to others? Or are all of your prayers about your needs being met? Are you always just trying to get more for yourself? Are you working to make your needs, get your needs supplied? And I know that there's millions of you thinking, but how else can I get? I've got to have my needs supplied before I can minister to others. Let me just say something that I can guarantee you does not make sense. Probably the majority of people are going to miss what I say because it's not carnal. It's spiritual. It's a faith deal. You have to perceive this by faith. But this is one of the greatest keys to prosperity that you could ever get. And this is what Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 is saying, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you." The things in context from Matthew 6, 19 up through verse 33 is talking about what you eat, where you sleep, what you're clothed with. If you would put God first, then God would take care of your physical needs. See, many of you are thinking, but I've got to take care of myself first, and then when I have something extra, I'm going to give. This is the exact opposite. If you would put God first and giving and blessing other people first, God would take care of you. Some of you have the total responsibility for your prosperity on your own shoulders, and you're about to crumble under it. It's heavy. It's a burden. It's weighing you down. That's because you are responsible for producing your own prosperity. But if you would put first the kingdom of God, if you would honor God with the first fruits of your increase, if you would see Him as your source and recognize, God, everything I've got is yours. I'm a steward. What do you want me to do? And then you go to His Word and find out He wants you to give, and it shall be given unto you. And if you would do that and truly, from a genuine heart, trust God for your prosperity, then God would take care of your finances and you would prosper more accidentally than you've ever prospered on purpose before. You would have finances just flow into your life. If God can get it through you, He will get it to you. But most people are building a dam and hoarding and stopping everything and wanting all of this prosperity to go to them. And only after they have every lust, every desire indulged so that they've got millions and millions in the bank and they never have to worry about anything, well, then I'm going to bless God when it doesn't cost me anything, when there's no threat to my own security, after there's no faith involved, then I'm going to trust God. And you wonder why you aren't prospering. God doesn't give money. He doesn't give prosperity to people with that kind of an attitude. He gives seed to sowers. If you're short of seed, it's because God doesn't see you as a sower. You're a taker. You're selfish instead of giving to other people. And I know that there's people offended by what I'm saying. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to enlighten you and tell you why this doesn't work. I'm trying to give you an answer. We have been exposed to this world system that is totally demonic. It's selfish. It's all about me and mine and take care of me, and if I don't take care of me, nobody else will. That is absolutely untrue. Man, there are scriptures that talk about how the Lord provides for all the animals and feeds them. Consider the birds of the air, Matthew chapter 6. They don't toil, they don't reap, they don't put food into storehouses, and yet the birds are all taken care of. God feeds them and takes care of them. If God does that for birds, how much more would He do it for you? You do not have to be the source of your prosperity. You know, I've got Paul Milligan, who teaches in our business school here, and not long ago we did a live streaming with him. And anyway, I've listened to a lot of Paul's teaching. He's a multimillionaire. He's on my board of directors. He's got a number of corporations, over 1,200 employees, etc. And anyway, Paul has made this statement that never, ever did he look at a job when he was working for other people as being his source. God was his source, and this job was just an opportunity for him to set his hand unto something and let it be blessed. He never asked for a certain salary. He never sought a pay raise. He never did any of this because those things were unimportant to him. God was his source. He was doing his job heartily as unto the Lord, and he never dealt with something based on what is the pay of this. And in his teaching, he tells people that if you are saying, well, what are you going to pay me if I do this job? You got the totally wrong attitude. You need to look for something where you can take your talents and gifts and use them and leverage the anointing and the blessing that God has put in your life to be able to be a blessing to somebody, to your employer, to the people that you serve. And you do that. And if you'll do that heartily as unto the Lord, I guarantee you, God will get seed to the sower. If you are giving and if your life is about blessing somebody instead of about, hey, how can you bless me? I want you to give me more. I demand more. And you give as little as you can and get as much as you can. That is a selfish attitude, and it's inhibiting the blessing of God in your life. Man, I've said things here today that I know have shocked a lot of people, and you need to be shocked because we've got a very ungodly world system, and sad to say, most Christians are more influenced by the world than they are by the Word of God. This is what Jesus was teaching. Use money to change people's lives so that in eternity you're still reaping the benefit of that money. Everything you keep, you lose. Everything you give away, you can't lose. You keep it forever. Man, those are powerful, powerful truths. I pray that God has touched your heart today. I encourage you to get these materials that we're offering. I think today will be my last day to offer you this third teaching in our six-part set entitled The Unjust Steward. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about the new book, the new study guide, the DVD testimonies that we have out. There's just a lot of material, so listen and then call or write today and join me again next week as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a brand new book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Or you can get both the book and the study guide as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on your choice of CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program, the book, the study guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $114, but today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Make sure to specify the CD or DVD when you order.
The Lord says to me, well, I have already provided for you, remember? That provision's already in your house. It's in your hand.
We just knew that God was teaching us immediately about the power of giving to Him and His kingdom.
I wasn't paying for my daughter's healing. I wasn't bargaining with God or anything, but I think that moved my heart. It put me in an area of faith.
And I heard on the inside of me God say, that guy's wallet won't contain the return you have coming on what you just gave.
The third audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD titled The Unjust Steward, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Better Way to Worship Conference, April 25th through the 27th, in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, May 5th through the 6th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, May 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 2nd through the 6th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details. Meet world changer Jim McCood. Caris Bible College graduate, class of 2004. A successful businessman, he turned his life completely over to Jesus.
Oh my gosh, there really is a God. I mean, like, this isn't like some story. This is like, there's really a God. When I got saved, I was saved. I just did things that I felt like God wanted me to do.
After attending Caris Bible College, Jim heard God speaking to him about using CBC's discipleship materials to reach Costa Rica. He immediately had the materials translated into Spanish using local pastors.
God said, Jim, I want you to help reach the nation to disciple the nation of Costa Rica and then later Latin America.
In just 3 years, Jim has established 230 discipleship groups in Costa Rica, some in homes, churches, public schools, and businesses. Are you a world changer? Caris Bible College can prepare the way. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details. Change your life. Change the world.